I want to begin a series this morning, a new sermon series. If you've been around for the last month or so, you know that we've been focusing on a man named Lot, and those stories are heavy, and there are a lot to think about, and yet God speaks to us. I've said many times and feel that I believe every story of the Bible has a purpose for us. Some of the stories are pretty heavy, and some are not so heavy. Some are highly encouraging, some are deeply challenging, and God gives us a lot of variety in the Scriptures. And I want to turn our attention to a new series, to a new character, to the life of the prophet Samuel. Samuel, if you know much about the Old Testament or you've been around the Bible a lot, you would know that Samuel is one of the earliest prophets whose story is told in the Bible. There may have been prophets that were just as important and prominent in those days, but Samuel's who we read about in the Scriptures. Abraham was the first person called a prophet, and it was God who called Abraham a prophet. And then there's a few mentions of some prophets during the time of Moses, and a couple of names are mentioned, but not a lot of stories about the role of a prophet and how important prophecy would be in Israel. But when we come to the story of Samuel, we find the first and of a number of prophets throughout the Old Testament whose office and is important to the history of the revelation between God and man. The office of the prophet and prophecy is very important. Samuel's life is presented in the Bible in a large degree in a fullness. From the very earliest of Samuel's life until the end of Samuel's life. In fact, when you read the book of 1 Samuel, the story actually begins before Samuel's born and his conception, and the story continues after he dies, and King Saul brings back the spirit of Samuel from the grave. And so you might say in the story of Samuel, his life is shown in the Bible, but also on either side of his life as well. The stories that are found in the book of 1 Samuel contains the life of Samuel. And then 2 Samuel continues on with King David and what happens from that time on. But there are 28 chapters in the book of 1 Samuel. And we're going to look at a lot of those stories over the next few weeks. There are many good stories in the book of 1 Samuel. If you have time and you want to read along with me and just study some scriptures and hear what God's Spirit says to you, I want to invite you, maybe in your devotions, maybe as you have time and you want to read the book of 1 Samuel, and we'll be looking at some of those stories. Some of the stories are about faith. Some of the stories are about listening to God. And most of the stories are about character. And that's what I want to focus on in this series. I want to focus on character and some things that we learn from the book of 1 Samuel. We learn many of those lessons from Samuel's life, but we also learn them from other people that are in the book of 1 Samuel and the stories and experiences that are going on during this time in Israel. Next Sunday morning, we're going to begin in chapter 1, and we're going to look at the faith of Samuel's family, particularly of his mother Hannah, also his father Elkanah, and we're going to look at the story of how Samuel arrived and what happened and what was going on in the lives of his parents and in Israel at that time, and God allowed Samuel to be born. We know that Hannah had a deep faith. She also had a deep hurt in her heart and her life, and she prayed for a son, and she promised God that if God would give her a son, that she would present him to the Lord to serve him all the days of his life. And even in that story in chapter 1 and chapter 2, it's a beautiful picture of faith, and we're going to begin with that. God answered that prayer, and a baby boy was born, and his name was Samuel. And then we're going to read about how Samuel was taken to the temple and dedicated to the Lord at a very young age. And just as a little boy, he began a journey of watching and serving and obeying and hearing the law of God and listening to God's Spirit And we're going to follow his life from childhood, just this little boy up until a very aged man. We also recognize in Samuel's life the importance of his calling and that God had spoken to Samuel, and he was sleeping at night and the Spirit of the Lord would come to Samuel and speak his name, and Samuel tried to understand what that was, but then came to find out that God was calling him and had a very specific calling in his life. And so we're going to look at Samuel's heart and his responsiveness to God in some ways. And one of the songs especially that was sung this morning just reminded me of how important it is that we live our lives listening to God. At every moment, at every stage in our lives, that we're listening, because when we're listening, then God can lead us and guide us and fill us and help us. And there may be circumstances in your life where you're facing something and you wonder, what does God say to me today? But if we have the spirit of Samuel and we're listening, God can speak to us. We're going to look at the stories of Eli and Samuel. Eli was the priest, and he was responsible for the temple, and Samuel came to the temple and helped him and learned from him. And over the years, as Samuel grew from a little boy into a teenager, and God began to speak to Samuel about what he wanted Samuel to do with his life, and Eli was a part of that, and we're going to read those stories. There's also the stories of Samuel as God begins to tell Samuel that not only are you to hear from me and you're to listen to my words, but now I want you to take them to other people and I want you to be my spokesman. And so in his youth, Samuel becomes the spokesman of the Lord. And as we read the stories of his youth and some of the things that happens when Samuel's a young man, we read of his strength, we read of his energy, we read of his movement, his vitality, and how God is working in this young man to bring about a change in Israel. And then as we continue on in the book of Samuel, as 1 Samuel covers many years, we find the stories of Samuel as he becomes an old man, as he has become a prophet who has led Israel for many years as the prophet. He's grown older and he's begun to counsel not only King Saul, but also the leaders of Israel. And we read of how God has put his hand on him to anoint and to speak for him and to lead the people through this process of having a king. And we'll talk about that what it meant that Israel wanted a king. By now, Samuel, by the end of the book, is a well-seasoned, experienced man. And he's been a leader a long time. And many of the words that he speaks are very deep. And he's carrying the messages between God and the chosen people. Samuel lived in a unique time. He lived at a unique time in the Old Testament, and I do believe one of the things that are important about studying the Old Testament is we understand the story and this time in history for God's people. We live at this time in history, but there's all kinds of times throughout history that God speaks to us through his people. And sometimes when we think of Samuel's world, we see a lot of confusion, and it was confusing at that time, and it's led me to think about more and more, especially recently, the time of Samuel, how unique that time is and how confusing it was to the Israelite people, how tumultuous it was. And when we read the stories and what led up to it, we do see all this, all these changes and all these dynamics going on in Israel. The uncertainty and the changes, and in many ways, as I've been thinking and praying and reading through Samuel, what has come to my mind is how it relates to us today. Are we living in days very similar to the days of Samuel? When I think about some of the things that are going on in Israel during this time and try to categorize them and summarize what was it like in Israel spiritually, what was it like among God's people during these days, and then I think about our world today and our culture today and America especially today and all the things that we've been hearing in the news recently and the court cases and these things that have been on our minds and in our conversations and the moral code and all these things are a part of our culture today. I just see these similarities between the days of Samuel and our days today. And so as we go through this series, I want to draw out of the stories of Samuel some things about our day as well. The thing that probably strikes me the most about Samuel's day, and also a parallel to our day today, is I believe that we're living in a day when God's authority is being greatly challenged and thrown out. And this was the case in Samuel's day. It was a day when people were rejecting the authority of God. And I chose this series in part in the life of Samuel because there are many similarities to what's going on, I believe, in America. There are some themes, some common traits that I see that it looks to me that we're living in the days of Samuel. And I want to invite you to study the book and read the book and think about these stories and take some time and read and allow God's Spirit to speak to you. I want to invite you into this book. At different times, I invite you into a book of the Bible and say, I want to encourage you over the next few weeks, the next 2 months, to as you have time and give yourself to study this particular book and hear the stories and hear what God would say to you and to me in this book, to see what God would say to us about our faith in this culture. What is God going to say to you and to me about 2015? What can we take from these stories? We live in a world of great pressure on our faith. And in the same way, Samuel lived in that as well. What would God say to us about the days of Samuel and how they relate to us? Well, that's a little bit about what we're going to do in the next few weeks. This morning, in the time that I've given left, I want to talk to you about the day that Samuel lived in. Samuel lived during the time period at the end of a certain time period in Israel. That's repetitive, but Samuel lived during the days of the judges, the days of the judges. After Moses and the Israelite people came out of Egypt, and for 40 years they languished in the desert, and then God said it was time, and Joshua led the people from the desert into the promised land. And then there were the battles in the book of Joshua and how God's people began to take over the land of Israel, and God had promised it to the descendants of Abraham. And then for about 300 or 350 years was this time period that's called the period of the judges. And during that time period, there was no official king in Jerusalem. There was no kind of official leader, but there were a series of people who were called judges. And during that time period, and it was a long time period, at least 300 years, there was these series of leaders that did not have full control over the people of Israel, but they kind of usually based on military power and saving them from their enemies would rise up, and people would look to them for leadership, and they would be there for a while and then they would be gone, and there would be kind of a vacuum of leadership, and then someone else would step up. And sometimes we read that God laid his hand on different people, men and women, and called them to be judges and leaders over Israel. And so over this time period, there was just this series, this long series of unrelated people who led Israel. Some of them were very strong leaders. Some of them were very weak leaders. There are stories in the book of Judges that are good, and we learn from the good in them, and other stories where we read from the weaknesses of them. In the book of Judges are some names that you've probably heard of and you think of if you know the stories. For example, the stories of Gideon was one of the good judges, and there's stories about how Gideon rose up and led the people and God used him in a mighty way. There's a story of Deborah, a different judge. There's a story of Samson, and if you know the story of Samson, it's kind of a mixed story, but he was a judge, and there were a series of judges that many of which you may have never heard of or read of, but over this time period, there was these judges, they were called, and they were leaders in Israel, but they weren't strong leaders. And during this time period, the children of Israel, the people of Israel, had not really very deeply connected and attached to the authority of God. They had come over from the desert, but They had not really lived out the law of Moses. They had grown cold, and this is kind of a period that before the prophets began to prophesy and to call the people back, it was a period where there was just almost a wishy-washy attitude toward God. And the last verse of the book of Judges summarizes the time period. The very last verse of the book of Judges, to me, summarizes the days of Samuel, but it also summarizes in many ways the day that we live in. It says, this is the very last verse of the book of Judges, "In those days Israel had no king, and every man did what was right in his own eyes." That verse is not presented to us as a positive thing. It's not presented to us as every man, well, kind of picked up and did what was right. It's not like that at all. What the verse is saying is when we lose the authority of God in our lives, then we begin to do what we want. And the self-centeredness of the human nature takes over. And that was what was happening in Samuel's time. It was a time of darkness. It was a time when everybody had their own opinion and everybody did what they wanted and everybody kind of had their own idea of what was right and what was wrong. And boy, what a similarity we have today with the moral relativism that we have around us. See, every man did what was right in his own eyes. These were the days before Israel had a king. And the problem was not that Israel did not have a king. It was that Israel had stopped listening to God and had stopped holding God in that place of honor and respect and authority and lordship. And when God is removed as that authority in your life, then the second half of this verse is what happens. Every man does what is right in his own eyes. The truth is, if God is not the number one authority in your life, then you're in the bottom half of that, and your life can go any number of directions, because then you make the choices and you make the decisions. And Samuel's life and the times of Samuel and the stories in Samuel, especially when you get to King Saul, just are so picturesque of what happens when God's not in control of who you are. What happens in the human heart when we decide that we have more authority than God does in our decisions and our choices, and we become detached from the Spirit of God, whether it be on the printed page of the Bible or listening to the Holy Spirit in our life, and we begin to listen to other voices that are part of our culture and a part of the education system, a part of politics, a science, all those things out there, the voices that speak to us that are contradicting the Word of God and the truth of God, the printed page, but even more important, the voice of God in our hearts and the conscience that He gives us. And Samuel lived in that day when people were not listening to the voice of God. They were not hearing the words of the Lord anymore. And we'll read that text in a little bit. It had been a long time since the people had heard the voice of the Lord. And in some ways, I think we're living in that day when people who are neighbors and people that are out there hearing so many voices, it's been a long time since they've heard the voice of the Lord. But what does God want to say to us in this culture today? It's not just about reading these stories and seeing what God did then, but saying, well, what does God say to us? What does God say to us today in a culture, in a world when we know that more and more people are not hearing the words of the Lord? How does God want us to respond to that? How does God want us to live? How does God want us to live in light of the Supreme Court decisions? What does He want from us? How can we be the light that shines in the darkness? What does God want for us in how we react and respond to the cultural pressures that are out there? That certainly has been on my mind here lately in Samuel's stories and lives. His life and the lives in the book of 1 Samuel seem to hit on some of those themes quite a bit. This description, "and every man did what was right in his own eyes," that's a short description, but it says a whole lot. I want you to think about as kind of a theme verse as we go into Samuel, "every man did what was right in his own eyes." What happens when we have that spirit within? What happens when we view life that way? Well, it's what we want. It's what we choose. And there's a separation from the authority of God. There was very little authority, and people lived according to what they wanted to in Samuel's day. They lived according to their inner nature. They lived according to their humanness. They lived according to what they wanted. They lived according to a godless independence. There was a rejection of God's direction in their lives, and Samuel came into that, and God used him to begin to speak to the people again. And so that describes the culture. Later, God would say in chapter 8, verse 7 of 1 Samuel, He would say these words, "And the Lord told Samuel, 'Listen to all they are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king.'" The truth is, the problem in Samuel's day is not that they wanted a king, is that they did not want God to be their king. They did not want God to be their king. And somehow, when we make that decision that God isn't our king, He's not our highest authority, then the door begins to be open. Or you might say it another way, we start down the slope. The slope gets steeper and steeper and steeper away from hearing the voice of the Lord. And the words here in chapter 8, verse 7 are the words of God to Samuel. Samuel says, "No, you don't want a king?" Then God came to him and said, "Samuel, you don't quite understand. It's not that they're rejecting you as the prophet, they're rejecting me as authority." In the book of 1 Samuel, to me, that's the theme. The authority of God in our lives. And I want us to look at these stories in light of the authority of God. It's not you they have rejected, but me as king. The issue in Samuel's day, one of the issues, perhaps the greatest issue, is the issue of God's authority. And I want to invite you to think about God's authority in your life. You understand that in Samuel's day, God's authority was questioned. We know God's authority is questioned today. That's an understatement. We know that. God's authority was ignored in Samuel's day, and there was the outright defiance and rejection. His laws were manipulated, and truth was made out to be what man declared it to be in Samuel's day. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. When we do what's right in our own eyes, then we open ourselves up to all kinds of a lie. Truth was what man declared it to be in Samuel's day. And then I think of, well, where was man's heart during that day? We know that it was dry. We know that it was hard. We know Samuel describes the people, they were not listening. They were not hearing. They were not trying to hear the voice of the Lord. There was an unresponsiveness in the culture, in the people. There was a defiance. There was also a lawlessness. And boy, that describes our day today, the lawlessness and the rejection of law. The independence. Maybe all of it could be wrapped up in that term, that self-centeredness, that independence. I'll do it my way. And the book of 1 Samuel is story after story of I'll do it my way. And I really am not going to listen to what God has said. Without God's Spirit to guide and correct, 1 Samuel is a series of stories of how the people and how King Saul walked away from God. It was a time when accountability seemed to be lost. And 1 Samuel reminds me of how important accountability is among God's people. The disrespect for authority. Since I'm in charge, don't tell me what to do. I think of our culture today. Don't tell me what to do about morality. Don't tell me what to do about my money. Don't tell me what to do about time. Don't tell me what to do about my entertainment. Don't tell me what to do about dating. Don't tell me what to do about the Sabbath. Don't tell me to do anything, God. I want to do what I want to do. And in Israel, they had no king, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. The loss of authority trickles down to our culture. The loss of respect for leaders, respect for history, respect for teachers, respect for police, respect for the unborn. We can think of so many things in our culture today ultimately, it is about who is in charge of the human heart. 1 Samuel is about who is in charge of the human heart. In those days, Israel had no king, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. When God is not in charge, the human heart takes over, and that is a great loss. And so that's about Samuel, but what about us? What does God say to us in the midst of a culture and a world that many of us see, and we see the problems? I hope also that we see that God is at work, and we're not to hang our heads low. In fact, we're to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And what does God want us to do in response to a culture that disrespects God's authority? What is it that God wants us to do? I'm reminded of the scripture that says, we fight, but not with the weapons of this world. We are to be a part of our culture, and we're to be a part of righteousness. And the Bible tells us that we are to change the world around us. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus knew what the culture was like in the first century. He knew what the culture would be like in the 13th century. He knew what the culture would be like in the 21st century. And he reminds us that as bleak as it is, and I've kind of painted a pretty bleak picture of Israel, and maybe of what I said about the culture, you might be saying, oh yeah, pastor knows all these things. He's talked about how negative they are around us. And the truth is, that's the way it is. But on the other hand, it's absolutely true that that's what Jesus knew about when he went to the cross, and he has a purpose for the church. He has an attitude for the church to have in the midst of the culture, and it's not to put our heads in the sand and say, oh, how terrible it is around us. He calls us to be alive and well and active in the church and in the world around us. I think of how important it is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. How important it is as we see the culture around us and we hear the news and we hear what's going on around us, that we don't get into a mode of complaining and just enumerating all the negative things out there. But God calls us. There's not a better day for the church to stand up for Christ than it is today. There's not a better day for us to proclaim the truth of God and proclaim the spirit and attitude that he wants us to live, to be salt and light in the world around us. Truly today, I believe that God calls the church to stand up and be counted. This is a unique day for the church. It's a unique day for your faith. It's a time in your life when you can stand up for what is true. You can live a life, a light around the people in your circle of influence that the Holy Spirit can change their hearts and change their lives. I believe that as much as any time in my life, today is the day that when we let our light shine for Jesus, it will impact people around us. Because there are people who are asking questions. There are people that are hearing things and they're asking, what is truth? What does God say to us? And so I want to say to the church today as we look at this series, it's not just about identifying the problems that are important. It's about what kind of character does God want me to have? How does God want me to live? How does God want me to respond to the moral things that are going on? What kind of attitude and spirit does God want me to have? I think of the importance of the fruit of the Spirit, how important it is that we go back to the things that God gives us as very foundational to be identified as His people, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and how God can use the fruit of the Spirit in order to impact the people around us. The people around us may be confused about truth and authority, but God can use character within the hearts of His people to bring change to them. Truly, God wants us to keep our eyes on Christ. Would you go to that slide, please, Nate? Our eyes on Christ, living out the fruit of the Spirit. As I mentioned before, I think this picture I chose because I just believe it's so telling of where the world is today. I know it's a picture from Jesus walking on the water and Peter stepping out of the boat and having faith for a while and then sinking. And then Jesus calls out and takes his hand. And I'm just thinking about this picture in the book of Samuel in our culture today. And I'm saying that's a picture of what Jesus wants. He's reaching out to help. He's reaching out to show us the way, to show us the way of faith. And if we are calling out to him and listening to his Spirit, he can take us up and he can help us to be the kind of Peter that he wanted Peter to be. The truth is, this is an important day for the church, and it's an important day for us as we seek the Spirit of God and to live it out. That's what this series is about. Maybe it's about reaching out and taking the hand of Jesus in the storms that we're in the storms that we find in our culture and our world today, that we reach out and we say, Jesus, you're in charge. I put my eyes on you. I put my life in your hands. And I ask you to guide me in the storms that are around me. Help me to know how to be a follower of you in the storms around me. I believe the lessons from Samuel can help us to focus on those things. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask you to sing a chorus with me that you all know. It's very common. And I'm going to ask us to pray together kind of at the beginning of this series about the question of the Lordship of Jesus in our lives and being reminded how important it is when we hear all the news around us and we hear things that are disturbing, sometimes spiritually, sometimes politically, sometimes militarily, sometimes about issues financially, is that we remember who's in charge. We remember that there's a Jesus there who's able to help us. He's able to guide us. He's able to take our hand. He's able to help us to be the church that He's called us to be. This is the time for the church to stand up. If you go on to that next slide, there's a chorus on there that I believe you probably know. He is Lord. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to invite you again in this series to seek out the Lordship of Jesus in every area of your life. Say, Jesus, lead me, guide me in all that I do. Would you sing that with me? He is Lord. He is Lord. The dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I left the second line out of that, but you know it. Let's sing it again. I'm going to invite you just to come to the front for a few minutes of prayer as we sing that again, and just to ask you, if you're here today because you want to seek God's Spirit, and you've come to church because you want to hear from God's Spirit, to say that prayer in your heart, God, I need you today. I need you in my life. I need you in this culture around us. I need you in decisions in my life. And just ask Him to speak to your heart today and in the days ahead to keep your heart tender. Would you sing that with me again, and we'll sing the second line too, and invite you to come and just pray up front around the altar this morning as we close our service. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your word and your truth. I'm thankful that you are reaching out to us, and whether we see it as Peter slipping into the water or circumstances in our life where we need your guidance and direction, or maybe times when we need your comfort and we need your words of assurance, or maybe times in our lives, God, when we've been out there on our own independence and we've been out there making our own decisions and really not listening to the Holy Spirit within us, I pray that we would have a desire as God's people to express that you are Lord of our lives. I pray, God, that we'd have a desire to say, God, we want you to be in charge. We want you, God, to have that freedom in order to speak and put your finger on anything within us that you want to say to us. I pray that we'd have that kind of teachable spirit. I pray, God, that we would have a humble spirit and a teachable spirit that allows your Holy Spirit to speak to us, Lord. Whether we're 8 years old or 14 or 22 or 60, Lord, every person that's here, it's a part of our church family that comes through these doors, God, I pray, has a humble and a teachable spirit. Lord, I know that there's no substitute for a humble spirit. Help us to have that kind of spirit, to listen to you and to seek you in all that we do. Father, I pray. I pray that whatever you want to say to us in this sermon series through the life of Samuel, that our hearts would be receptive and we would learn. And Lord God, it would help us to know how to live in this culture that we live in. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.